If you have your Bibles with you today, I encourage you to bring your Bibles. It's okay. Methodists can bring Bibles to church. It's all right. if you haven't, I'm sure that there is a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. For me, my Bible is more like a textbook. I write in it. I make notes in it. And this is also the time in the service that if you have a cell phone, you can pull it out and read the scripture online as well, if that's your preference. Today, as Kira recounted for us in her children's time lesson, the parable of the sower, where Jesus tells this wonderful story in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And Jesus finishes our teaching for today by saying, "Let anyone with ears listen." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, for this wonderful teaching. It's one of my favorites. It reminds us that we are people who listen, and it is important for us to listen for this message today, what it can mean for us. I pray that you be with this preacher. Lord, don't let me mess this up today. May your word be strong. May it be a challenging word, a good word. It may be a word we take home with us and we live the rest of the week with, maybe even a lifetime. I pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I wanted to ask you this morning that if I asked you to, could you remember your first time, your first experience with seed sowing? You ever done that? When I was 5 years old, I went to kindergarten. And in kindergarten in Jackson, Tennessee, back in my day, that's a long time ago, 50 years ago, there were no public school kindergarten classes. If you wanted to go to kindergarten, you had to go to a church. And so my parents took me to the First Presbyterian Church, and Miss Holbrook was my kindergarten teacher. We stayed half a day at school. I thought that was a good deal. Half a day, you got to go home, right? Well, I think it was in this first seed sowing experience, if I remember it right, it happened around the end of the school year, sometime around May, close to Mother's Day. Miss Holbrook came around with styrofoam cups, something like this, and she had written on the cup, "Happy Mother's Day," right? It was to be a gift for our mom. She also gave us a card, and on the card we were supposed to write a note to mom, wishing mom a happy Mother's Day. And she'd already written inside the card, "Happy Mother's Day. Like this seed, my love grows for you every day." Doesn't that sound kind of cool? So she came around with the card. She came around with the cup. She came around with a little bit of dirt. We were to put the dirt inside the cup, right? And then a seed the size of a freckle down into the soil, and put a little more soil on top of it and just a hint of water. Now, I promised you all a miracle today. It didn't quite happen. I'm hopeful that it will. It just needs a little more time. Here is the miracle. So with the styrofoam cup in hand and being picked up around noon that day, we went home, and I handed my mother her Mother's Day gift immediately, the card and the cup with the little seed in it. And I want to go on record here saying that no styrofoam cup filled with dirt with a seed got better care than mine did, right? I mean, I took real good care of it. Technically, it was a gift to my mom, but I retained ownership. I held on to it. Now, we found the perfect place for it on the windowsill just above the sink in my house because it was a window that looked outside, right? And it got a little bit of sun, and right underneath there, there was a faucet, so if it needed a little water, I mean, it was acquired. It was the perfect place for the seed and the styrofoam cup. And I want you to know that I talked to that seed. I encouraged that seed. Every morning, the very first thing I did was to go from my bedroom to the kitchen, and I would use a step stool, and I'd look in and I'd peer in and see if there was any growth. Day after day after day, disappointment. No growth. What made matters worse is that my classmates in Ms. Holbrook's kindergarten class would come in and say, "Oh, you won't believe how big the plant's getting in my house." And I was beginning to think, either I had drowned the seed, or Ms. Holbrook had given me a defective seed. But then it happened. That morning, I still remember it. Then it happened. Choir, I remember it. I walked into the kitchen. I got up on the step stool. And I peered into that cup that was there, and it wasn't a Jack and the Beanstalk kind of moment. I mean, the stalk didn't swing all the way up through the roof and towards the heavens, but there was a little bit of growth in that cup, and I couldn't wait to tell my mom, and I couldn't wait to go to school, and it was a miracle. It was a miracle. That morning happened more than 50 years ago, and to this day, I still know the power of a seed. Are y'all with me today? The power of a seed. I'm sorry I couldn't deliver on the miracle. But if you want to see a miracle, I want you to try this. Plant a word of hope in someone's heart. Nurture it with a smile, offer it a prayer, and see what happens. If you want to see a miracle, try this. Compliment somebody, appropriately, of course. Compliment them. Have flowers delivered to somebody for no apparent reason and for no reason at all, right? Bake a cake and take it to a neighbor. I live at 1912 Osage Lane. Hug a widow. Ask someone to go somewhere with you, maybe to lunch or maybe to a football game or maybe just to get a cup of coffee. This one's for me. Praise a preacher. We like that. We like that. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works, but I do know that it works. Amen? Planting a seed works. Friends, please, never underestimate the power of a seed. Jesus certainly never did. One day as he went out of a house, I want you to hold on to that word went for just a moment. There are two words I want you to pay attention to, but I want you to pay attention to that word went. It says he went out of the house, and can you imagine it? The crowds were so big, so great, that he had to use a boat as a floating pulpit. I would love for the opportunity to do that. We can do it out at Norfolk, right? I mean, there were so many people that he got out on a boat and he used it as a floating pulpit, and he started to teach them, and he said, listen, a sower went out to sow. I ask you to hold on to that word went, because in the biblical words, I mean, we're used to the English language where went means went, but in the Bible, when two words are the same word, it's important, it's significant. Jesus went out of the house. A sower went out to sow, so it's really, really important. Here's another word I want you to hold on to. It's the word listen. Listen. A sower went out to sow. We'll come back to that word at the end of our sermon. Jesus was a master storyteller. He told stories. We call them parables, what I call stories with a point, right? And so Luke tells 24 parables of Jesus. 18 you'll find only in Luke's gospel. For instance, the parable of the prodigal son is only in Luke's gospel. Matthew tells 23 stories, 23 parables of Jesus, 11 only in his gospel. Mark's a slacker. There are only 8 parables in Mark's gospel, 2 that you'll find only in Mark. And John, well, he tells stories in a different kind of way. He has Jesus telling stories in a different way. Jesus was a master storyteller, as I've already said. And so one day, as he looked out among the crowd, he knew that the people there, some of them were farmers, some of them knew agriculture, some of them knew about that. And so he told stories that they could relate to. So he tells the story of the parable of the sower. He says that this sower went out to sow seeds. Now, are y'all with me? Okay. In Jesus' day, there was a metaphor for teaching and preaching. And that metaphor was sowing seeds. Are y'all with me? So it's really, really important. I still remember what one of my preaching professors said many, many years ago. I've been in a seminary a long time, but he said this: it's our job to sow the seed in the soil of the soul. Did y'all get that? I'm going to say it again because it's a big word. It's a long phrase. It's a lot of S's, right? My preaching professor said, it's your job, it's our job, I say, to sow the seed in the soil of the soul. Amen? It's our job. That's what Jesus is doing here. One of the things that we can say often is that the parables of Jesus can be interpreted with allegory. That is, one thing stands for something else. So imagine this. The farmer in the story is God, right? The seed is the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? And then finally, you are the sower of the seed. So Jesus tells this story probably because, in part, there is a lot of what I want to call missional disappointment. The Word of God is not getting into the lives of people the way that the disciples hoped. And so he told this story for everyone to hear. And he gives what I want to call 4 soil samples, right? There are 4 of them. The first is a seed that fell on the path. Have you ever walked on a path that was beaten down, hard soil? It's rigid. It's inflexible. It's unyielding. You can hardly penetrate it. And says Jesus, there are people who hear the gospel, the good news, and they just don't get it. They are the ones for whom the seed lays on the surface. It never reaches down into the soil. It never saturates into the ground. And birds often will swoop down and carry it away. And says Jesus, sometimes people are like that. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. But I will say that sometimes I'm like that. Sometimes I'm like that. It's hard for me to learn an important lesson. I don't get it. Disciples are supposed to be lifelong learners, right? But sometimes we don't. So that's the first soil type. And I want to go ahead and say this. This farmer in the story who throws seeds, hitting, lining them up in rows, he's throwing them all over the place, right? The second type of soil is something that we call rocky soil. You remember how the gospel lesson puts it? They receive the gospel lesson. It springs up quickly with joy. But the soil is shallow. It's not deep. It never gets really connected to the ground. And at the first sign of trouble, it shrivels. And says Jesus, sometimes people are like that. I'm not saying you're like that, but I'm saying that sometimes the soil is like that. And then Jesus says, sometimes those seeds fell among the thorns and the weeds. My mom had a t-shirt she loved to wear. She wore it all the time. She had it for 10 years or more, and I loved it. It said, so many weeds, so little time. So many weeds, so little time. If you go to her house in Conway, there is a welcome mat that is there. And the welcome mat says simply this, ring the doorbell, pull weeds while you wait. I don't know if anybody ever did that or not, but weeds didn't stand a chance in my mama's yard. Sometimes weeds win. And those seeds got among those weeds and the thorns. And the thorns choked them out. And sometimes life is like that, amen? Sometimes life is like that. The cares of the world, the lure of things, choke out the word of God. Sometimes we're like that. I'm not talking about you, of course. I'm talking about us. But then there is the good soil. The rich soil, seeds that find themselves in that kind of soil bring forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Let me tell you, what is a fold? 10-fold is a bumper crop for a farmer. 10-fold. 30-fold would feed a village for an entire year, right? 100-fold would bring me retirement in a beach house in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I mean, it's a lot. It is a bumper, bumper, bumper crop times 10. And then Jesus says, can we go back to that word? Let anyone with ears to hear listen. I was thinking about that this week. You all may have already noticed in week number 3, that I like to say, are you with me? You can talk to other people in other churches. I said it there too. Maybe that's what Jesus is doing. Listen. With anyone who has ears to hear, let them hear. It's important, right? Some preachers like me, on a Sunday like today, and a lesson like this, we'll have what I like to call a soil approach to this passage. A soil, S-O-I-L, approach to this passage. I've done that before. Not going to do it today. But the question that is asked from the pulpit on those days, a question like this, what kind of soil will the Word of God find in you? It's a really a good question, right? And we all say, well, preacher, good soil, of course. Good soil. Good for you. And I want to say that our lives come in seasons, and there are times that the Word of God finds good soil in us, no doubt about it. But sometimes the Word finds thorns and rocks and hard paths too. What's the good news there is that your soil type can change. Add a little topsoil, dig a little deeper. But here, early on in our ministry together in the third week, I don't want to focus on the sowing. I want to focus on the sowing, not on the souls. I want us to think about how we are seed sowers. Amen? It's your job to do that. Our job is to sow seeds in people's lives, seeds of hope, a seed of encouragement, a seed of spiritual growth, a seed of truth when it's easier to tell a lie, right? A seed of teaching, a seed of peace, a seed, choir, of a lasting friendship. I had a friend in Paragol who, he says, do you know how I became friends with my best friend? I said, how? He says, I turned around and I asked him, do you collect baseball cards? And they became lifelong friends. Now, are y'all with me? Do you have ears to hear? How about we throw out some seeds of ministry? I'm amazed. Wesley Mill, how you feed people, how you care for people. Someone started that, right? Someone started that meal. Someone started our ministry to help those who hope for all. Someone started that. Someone threw out a seed and it found some soil and it grew, right? And here's the thing about seed sowing. Your job is to sow the seed. The harvest is not up to you. The harvest is up to God. Paul writes to the Corinthian congregation, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And growth takes time. Growth takes time. Come on, seed. My mom and dad were teachers. My dad taught at a college in Jackson, Tennessee, where I grew up. Where I met my wife, Susie, called Lambeth College, United Methodist College. And I still remember the day when the mail arrived at his house and he opened up a letter from a student that he had taught 20 years before. 20 years ago. And the letter said something like this: thank you for pouring your life, your love of music, into my life and teaching me. It made all the difference. 20 years later. I know I've planted seeds in churches that are just now starting to grow, and I'm going to plant seeds here. Friends, never underestimate the power of a seed. The harvest is not up to you. The seed sowing is. Will you sow seeds in people's lives?